one. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the New York Giants are reportedly expressing heavy interest in a running back prospect in this year's draft. That would be Florida State University's Trey Benson, a really exciting prospect that I know Alex has been hyping up for quite a while. I'm also a fan of his. I think he's a really impressive prospect. And we kind of just want to talk about Trey Benson in his own right, but also the fact that the Giants are looking at running backs. Of course, they lost Saquon Barkley this offseason. Brought in Devin Singletary, who's going to be the starting running back this season, but there's definitely room for improvement behind Singletary in this backfield, right? We know that the Giants probably want to go for more running back by committee approach going forward. We'll see what role Eric Gray, fifth round pick from last year, what role he plays in the offense, and if they add anybody else, but we kind of just want to talk about some of these running back prospects, including Benson and others, and discuss how they'll fit in with the Giants and why the Giants maybe should prioritize snagging a running back in the middle to late rounds of the 2024 NFL Draft, which is only 20 days away. I cannot wait, guys. Stay tuned. We've got live streams planned, reaction videos, all of the fun stuff for the NFL Draft. You're not going to want to miss our coverage right here on Fireside Giants, but let's go ahead and dive into these running backs. Before we do so, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your reaction to the Giants being heavily interested in Trey Benson?
I'm doing great, man. There was an earthquake in New York today, so I hope everyone's safe and sound. It was crazy. I live in a building that has like 20 floors, and I swear to God, this building was bouncing. I was like bouncing my leg, and I was like, why is my desk shaking? And then I realized I wasn't even touching my desk, and my whole desk was like moving. And I was like, okay, like I stopped shaking my leg. I'm like, holy crap. This has to be an earthquake, or you know, the nuclear bomb has finally landed. I don't really know what the hell was going on, but I'm glad everyone seems to be safe and sound. It was I think a 5.4, 4.8, something like that. So I've never experienced anything like that, or at least noticed it in my life in New York. And I've been here for 27 years, my entire life. So definitely a crazy situation for us New Yorkers, and even in New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania, and even maybe in Massachusetts. A lot of people felt this. And hopefully we have the same exact response on draft day when we land a quarterback. I'm just kidding. But nonetheless, Trey Benson's really interesting player. The Giants, reportedly according to Aaron Wilson on NFL.com, or not on NFL.com, NFL Twitter, suggested that the Giants are heavily scouting Trey Benson, and they could be targeting him with one of their mid-round picks. I don't know where he's going to go exactly. Some people think he'll go in the second round. Some people think he'll go in the third. But if the Giants were there in the third round, or even had to move up a couple spots to get him, I really like Trey Benson. Ran a 4.39 40-yard dash, elite contact balance, really solid player with a fantastic frame at 6'1", 223. And he ran a 1.52 10-yard split, 33.5 inches vertical jump, and 10'2" broad jump. So, like, you're looking at a player that has the tangible skill set to be a fantastic NFL player. NFL has him graded as an eventual average starter, but you can never really look at those grades and take it for what they are. Players outrank these all the time. He had the first-ranked total combined score of any running back, according to Next Gen Stats, and he had the third-ranked athleticism score. So, looking at his skill set, I really like him. Now, he has had some injuries in the past. Had a right knee injury he suffered in practice back in 2020. Played 10 games in 2021, mostly as a reserve. But since then, he's been really healthy. 2022, 23, this past both years, actually. Second team All-ACC running back. Had 906 rushing yards last year with 14 touchdowns. And had 227 receiving yards with a touchdown as well. He had 3 drop passes. All of them came against Syracuse in the same game. So I'm not really concerned about the drop passes. It seemed like an anomaly. Every single game that he played aside from the Syracuse one, didn't drop a single pass. He was fantastic. And his pass blocking grades, according to PFF, you know, I'd have to look through the film, are pretty good too. So you're getting a player that has the size to, you know, help you in pass protection when called upon. That's an issue that Saquon Barkley has had a lot in the past. He's got the frame to be an NFL workhorse. And look, you look at what the Houston Texans did last year with Devin Singletary, who's our new running back now, who I really like, by the way. They had Damian Pierce and Singletary kind of balancing that act, bouncing off each other, and they had a pretty solid running game with those two guys. And I think Devin Singletary and a young Trey Benson, rookie obviously at 21 years old, only 2 years of collegiate workload on his shoulders. He only had one game this past season with 20 carries. He doesn't have that much workload. Like, he's pretty much ready to go and should have a relatively long shelf life for a running back in context with that position. So 4.39 40-yard dash, guys, he's got legitimate fantastic speed. Now, the cons for him are pretty simple, and this is according to Lance Zierlein. Sometimes he's a little indecisive. He tries to look for the greener grass, looks for those big home run openings, and because of his elite contact balance and strength and physicality and speed, he might be better off just taking what the defense gives him and just churning out those extra yards. He always falls forward a yard or two. You love that for getting those first downs on short and fourth and short, third and short situations. So you really like that about him. But I do like the fact that we brought in the running back coach from the New Orleans Saints, and he helped develop Alvin Kamara. And Alvin Kamara, as we know, elite contact balance, elite receiver from the running back position. He takes what defenses gives him. He will churn out extra yards. He is so good finding ways to manipulate his body to stay upright. Trey Benson has that same quality, has those same qualities. So I'd love to give, you know, our new running backs coach who helped develop Kamara, Trey Benson, because they have those similar traits, and I love the upside there. What are your thoughts on Trey Benson in terms of how the Giants could utilize him? 1-2 punch with Singletary, you actually end up alleviating the concern of overworking your running backs. We leaned on Saquon so much last year, and the last 5 years to get the job done for us. I think you can maintain the shelf life of running backs a lot easier if you have a 1-2 punch instead of just going all in on one guy, and they're going to get hurt. Like, they're going to get injured. Having two guys there, even if one guy gets hurt, you still have the other one who you trust and like a lot. So I do like that combination, Trey Benson and Devin Singletary. I'd be very excited about that running back duo.
As would I. I think Trey Benson's a really exciting prospect. The number one stat that I love is 124 forced missed tackles over the final two seasons of his collegiate career. The guy is impossible to bring down. He's a tackle-breaking machine. And if you really turn on his film, I'm not trying to compare him as a prospect to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley coming into the draft was like the perfect running back prospect. There's no doubt about that. There's a reason Dave Gettleman fell in love with him and took him with a number two overall pick. But the tackle-breaking ability is reminiscent of how Saquon was coming out of Penn State for Trey Benson. And I think that's something to be really excited about. So if the Giants were to bring in Trey Benson in the third, fourth round, I expect them to play quite a bit. I know that Devin Singletary was signed to that three-year contract, is the starting running back, but everything that we've seen the Giants do this offseason indicates they want to play with a committee in the backfield. So if you remember, they were trying to negotiate with A.J. Dillon for a little while before he ended up re-signing with the Green Bay Packers. That was one of the moments that indicated, hey, they don't want just one primary rusher. They want guys for situations and downs and yardages to have this committee. So I think that if you're looking at Trey Benson, kind of as you mentioned, Alex, this could start out as your third down running back, the guy who in most passing situations or, you know, going up against a nickel defense, this is who you want running the ball. He'll make all those cornerbacks miss, fall off his rushes and break a bunch of tackles that way, or catch some nice passes out of the backfield, gain some additional yardage. That's how Trey Benson can start out. But as you mentioned, there are different things that he needs to clean up in order to become an every down running back. But I think the ability is there. The speed is there. The size and physicality is definitely there. Trey Benson maybe doesn't step into the NFL day one as a workhorse back, but you could see the potential for him to become one. And he doesn't need to be, is the luxury of what the New York Giants are building in their backfield. He doesn't have to step in and be a bell cow. He doesn't need to be a workhorse back. We have Devin Singletary. So you can have these two playing in tandem. And then additionally, Eric Gray is available for you. I still don't know what the Giants' plans for Eric Gray are. That's kind of a whole different topic of conversation here, because they drafted Eric Gray in the fifth round last year. I thought that they would get him on the field a good bit because they knew Saquon Barkley was going to be an impending free agent. They didn't play him much at all. Even when Barkley was hurt, we barely saw Eric Gray. They primarily used him on special teams. I'm confused by his usage this past season, and because he's small and because he was dealing with an injury, I have a feeling that the Giants are just kind of like, okay, we brought him in. He's probably a special teamer for us now. Let's go find someone better for our backfield. And that's why they're looking at guys like Trey Benson and maybe some other running backs in this class. And for what it's worth, this draft class for running backs has been criticized as not being a great one. There's nobody who's expected to go in the first round, maybe not even in the second round, although likely at some point on in the second round, and definitely by the end of day two, there will be running backs off the board. But again, not a ton of top-heavy talent, but if you really dive into this class in those middle and later rounds, there is talent, and there are players who should be able to make an impact for an NFL team as early as their rookie season, Trey Benson being one of them. I'll throw out a couple other names. I think that Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is another very exciting prospect. Not as bulky, not as much of a tackle breaker as Trey Benson, but just as fast, if not faster. One cut back, hits a hole, gone. Love Jalen Wright, the game that he plays with and what he brings to the field. And then there's another player that we've talked about a few times on this channel, Alex. Completely different style of running back, Audric Estime. Not as much long speed, a lot of power. Downhill runner. would kind of be the Brandon Jacobs in this equation if you wanted to equate it to what the Giants had over a decade ago with Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs. But I think that's the route that the Giants are going to go, Alex, and that's kind of where I want to pivot this conversation to and ask you how you think that this running back is going to play this upcoming season, or this running back backfield for the Giants is going to play, because Singletary, we know, is probably their first second down back, their primary rusher, but it looks like they're interested in bringing in a rookie to be that third down back and maybe take over short yardage situations if they have some power to them. But then where does Erica Gray fit into the equation? I'm just curious what your thoughts are on how this running back room is going to look for the Giants, what you think they might be looking for in a draft pick, and where Erica Gray fits in with this seemingly crowded backfield by the end of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, this running back group for the Giants, I'm not personally the biggest fan of the other options aside from Singletary on this team right now, but I think regardless of that, this offense has to go in the direction of more of a passing offense, right? They need to become, and that's why they saved the money, by the way, on Saquon. They didn't want to give him $12, $13 million plus $24, $25, $26 million guaranteed over the course of that contract. They're paying Singletary less than half. There is tangible reasons to believe that this Giants offense is going to be more centered around the passing game. Now, obviously, we don't have that WR1, and if you ask Joe Shane right now, he probably says this is not the end of the Giants rebuild this year, right? Even if we don't have that top gun this year in terms of WR1, if they say they go with the quarterback in the first round, they still have next year and the year after that and the year after that. Like, there's time to build the roster. I mean, the Texans did it without a WR1 last year. Nico Collins, I would say, isn't a WR1. I'd say Stephon Diggs is their new WR1. I think Collins has the upside, but I wouldn't say he is as good as Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson or this or that. He was their top option, but he is not one of the best receivers in the game. Same with Tank Dell. I see him as more of like a WR3 now behind Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins. So, like, they found the last piece, and they're taking a shot in their window because they have the quarterback position. I think this year, we're going to talk about this in the next episode that will come out, I believe, on Saturday, about Wandale Robinson. And I love Wandale Robinson. So I think that there's a lot of talent. Jalin Hyde, of course, we haven't even discussed. And as the offensive line improves, we're going to see more shots downfield, and we're going to see more efficient opportunities downfield instead of just heaving it and praying. It's going to be more structured. There's going to be more developed concepts here instead of just run deep and we're going to throw it as far as we can, as long as the offensive line can give us 10 seconds. Like 10 milliseconds to get the ball downfield. So, you know, thinking about it from that perspective, the passing game is going to be the focal point. The Giants are shifting their entire strategy, and this offseason has been a very clear indication, Anthony, I know you would agree with me here, they are focusing on positions with higher positional value, right? Reducing the cost of free safety, reducing the cost of running back. Now, not everybody agrees with letting Xavier McKinney go. I know you're one of the many people who are very upset by that. But you see the path they've taken. They're like, we don't want the free safety, we don't want the running back, we're going to invest in the pass rusher, high positional value, yada yada yada. We get the strategy there. With that being said, we still don't have a free safety, or at least one that we're aware of, and we reduce the cost at running back. And Singletary, I really like him as a very solid player. He's not going to replicate exactly what Saquon did, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came pretty close, guys. I really don't. He had more yards after the contact than Saquon had last year, and he had more yards, designed runs that went 15 plus yards or more than Saquon did last year. Now, offensive line does make a big difference. Houston offensive line, by the way, was very injured and not very good. So, like, don't use that as like an example of like, oh, like Houston's offensive line was significantly better. They lost like six starters last year, right? Like, they were also torn to shreds. They were better than the Giants, absolutely, but they weren't. And also, you have to keep in mind, Singletary's workload was quite a lot less than Saquon's, I think, compared to what his workload is. I have to double check those numbers, but I think he'll be a really solid player for the Giants. He's not Saquon Barkley, he's not that explosive guy, but he has a high motor. And can break some tackles. He falls forward. He gets extra yards. I like Singletary at less than half the cost of Saquon. I think it's ultimately a good signing for us. Plus, he's wearing number 26. So we can just write over Saquon Barkley's name on the back of our jerseys. But, you know, looking at exactly what this passing and this running game is going to look like, I think more focal point on the passing game, less stress on the running back position. They're going to have more mouths to feed there, which I think is ultimately good for everybody because it keeps our offense healthier. So I am excited about that, Anthony. But what are your thoughts here about the passing game? I think it's going to be more of a focal point. We really relied on Saquon to pick up a lot of the slack last year and every year since he's been drafted. I think it's time that we start to shift the focal point now towards passing the football a lot more efficiently.
I agree with you. It is time to make that shift, but I'm not going to predict or project what this offense is necessarily going to look like until after the NFL draft, because we have some major personnel changes upcoming. You know, if the Giants do bring in Malik Nabers, you can expect them to throw the ball a whole lot more, right? Or if they draft Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Dunze, you can expect them to try and get the ball in the hands of that receiver as often as possible. But if they don't land one of those guys, maybe they go with a quarterback instead, you could see them take a more run-heavy approach as to not overwhelm a rookie quarterback and let him really take time to develop and only throw the ball on plays where he needs to, right? Especially if they take a guy like, let's just throw out J.J. McCarthy. Let's put his name out there. Doesn't have a lot of experience leading a high-flying passing attack. That's the biggest negative that people bring up for McCarthy, was in many ways a game manager for Michigan, a really good one, but did manage a lot of games and wasn't necessarily a playmaker in his own right and handed the football off a lot, right? Those are the cons against McCarthy. If the Giants were to land him, you could probably expect that they're going to load up at running back and run the ball a lot more in 2024. But if they end up taking Jaden Daniels, they're probably going to drop him back and let him run and throw the ball with him and air it out since he throws such a great deep ball. So it's really tough to project what this offense is going to look like, what the scheme and what the playing style is going to be until we get those draft picks in. And not even just that first round pick, but how about the second, third round pick if they end up taking a running back in the third, or if it's in the sixth, that kind of changes the way that this rushing attack is going to look as well. But I do agree with you in the sense that the Giants probably need to be a more pass-first team because they lost Saquon Barkley. They're going to have to rely on the quarterback more, although we know that that could spell trouble because this offensive line, while it looks better on paper, I'll believe it when I see it, and we've been saying that all offseason long. This offensive line should take a step forward this year, but we did say that last year. We thought Evan Neal would take a step forward. We thought some of these other younger guys would step into the starting lineup and hopefully play better. That didn't happen. We ended up signing Justin Pugh off the streets. Evan Neal looked like the worst offensive tackle in the NFL once again. So it's tough to project what this offense is going to look like, what the approach and game plan is going to be. But I am hopeful that they will be able to improve their passing attack, because ultimately the Giants had the worst offense in the history of the NFL for like a 4-week period at some point last season. If you look at the entirety of the season, they ranked 30th or 29th in the NFL. For a long time, they were dead last. It was really tough to watch that offense play. They figured it out a little bit towards the end of the season, started to put some more points up, gain some more yardage. But generally speaking, you can't expect this offense to be great next season unless they make some serious changes through the NFL draft or make some blockbuster trade for a wide receiver. We'll have to see how it ultimately shapes out. But I would like them to make a shift and throw the ball more and air it out and get the ball into the hands of guys like Wandale Robinson. I'd like to see Daniel Bellinger be more than just a chip blocking tight end, basically an extra offensive tackle. I'd like to see him get involved in the passing game. I want to see Darius Slayton have that breakout season that he's been on the cusp of for several years. There are definitely things that I want to see. We'll see if we do end up seeing those things play out, though, because ultimately, offensive line has to protect, quarterback has to find the open receiver. Plays need to be called properly. We'll see who's even calling the plays next year. That's another variable that we didn't mention yet. Mike Kafka might be the play caller. Brian Daboll might be the play caller. That's going to change things. Mike Kafka coming from Kansas City, you see a lot of the Giants plays are quick. West Coast, you know, get the ball out of the hands of the quarterback quickly. Short throws, all that kind of stuff. If you go watch the Buffalo Bills under Brian Daboll, there were a lot more deep shots. And I think that's what we might see this upcoming season if Brian Daboll is calling the plays. So it'll be interesting. Of course, I'm excited for this NFL draft because we'll get a greater idea of what this offense is going to look like, what the schematics will be. But right now, it's tough to project how this offense is going to play. Although, I think that if you kind of read through the lines here, see that the Giants are targeting running backs in the draft, maybe looking at guys in the middle rounds, you could expect running back by committee, and you can hopefully expect by all of the receivers and quarterbacks that they've scouted that they're going to try and improve that facet of the game as well, get some more separators, guys who can get open on a down-to-down basis, whether that be a receiver in round 1, 2, or 3, really deep class at the receiver position, as we've said many times, also deep class at the quarterback position, whether they go round 1 or 2 at QB. Either one is possible. I know we all have our preferences, but we'll see how it shapes out in the draft. But Alex, I guess to wrap, you know, that kind of conversation, What do you think that impact is going to be if the play calling reins get traded from Kafka to Dable? How do you think that changes things? Because I know you were asking me, you think there's going to be a shift to a more pass-heavy approach. Do you think that's going to be reliant on Dable taking over the play calling duties? Do you think that maybe it won't be as pass-heavy if Mike Kafka keeps the play calling duties? How do you think that changes things and what the impact would be on the backfield and also in the passing game?
You know, it's a good question, and let's reflect on back when Brian Dable was the offensive coordinator for the Bills. What made that offense tick? Explosive plays, right? He kind of started that trend with Josh Allen of just explosive plays, trying to take as much risk out of it as possible, but being as explosive as you possibly can be without, you know, throwing too many interceptions. They started to trend in a little bit of a different direction once he left there. A little bit more explosive, too much risk at times even. Josh Allen's throwing a lot of picks last year, early in the season. So, you know, Dable, I kind of feel as though if he takes over play calling, it's going to be more pass heavy. I think he'll use the running game as more of a complement to the passing game, but it will be more about big shots, points on the board, momentum shifts. Like, it'll be about controlling the game and controlling the momentum and controlling the confidence of your offense and your team, and taking those gut punch shots. The running game is important. It always will be. First down, second down, short yard situations, you got to have those players. But I think that, you kind of look at Mike Kafka's strategy last year, and it was kind of interesting, right? When Saquon was on the field, they ran the ball a lot. But when he was injured a little bit, and when he was banged up, and Tyrod Taylor came in, the second half of the year, I don't know if you've experienced the same thing, but the second half of the year felt like they started to throw the ball deep a lot more to me. Like, they were just taking shots. They were trying to be explosive, and I think that was, like, their default. It was like, all right, like, well, if we're not going to be able to put up a lot of points, we have to manufacture it somehow. Let's try to just take shots deep to our speed guys. And I think that that's really where the offense is going to open up in the future, because if you can do that, but also have a good running game and also have those underneath options and those good route runners and separators, you have a complete offense. Right, like, that's what a complete offense looks like. You can operate on every single level of the field, and you have a solid running game. That's exactly what you want in a good offense. Last year, we were really one-dimensional. A lot of times, either we had a decent running game, or we had a decent downfield passing attack, but we rarely had both of them at the same time, due to injury, inconsistencies, play calling changes, whatever. I think Dable will probably start by trying to be more explosive, and then incorporate the running game as a way to balance that. And then you want to create that balance, create that kind of dynamic. So I would love to see Dable as a play caller. In fact, like, I hope he is the play caller long term, because that, I think, is what is most sustainable for the Giants. Mike Kafka's probably gone after this season, if we're being honest, right? If the Giants have a decent year and the offense takes a step forward, he might get a head coaching job. He almost got the Seattle one despite this past year. A lot of people like him. He's highly regarded in the NFL. The Giants blocked him from a lateral move to the Seahawks after they went in a different direction. So right now, I would say that I think Dable takes over play calling, because long term, he's going to have to be the play caller. And I think long term, Mike Kafka probably won't be here. So you might as well get started now and situating your offense and getting things rolling than prolonging the inevitable and just waiting. Because what happens if Kafka struggles? What happens if the offense, like, struggles and Dable freaks out again and has a tough time, like, taking and giving the responsibilities away? I'd rather him just have the responsibilities and do what he was meant to do when we hired him in the first place. Run an elite offense. That's what we hired him to do. I think it's time to hand the keys over and let him do just that.
I'm in agreement with you, man. I know we've already done a discussion video on Brian Dable, the play caller, potentially, and kind of what that situation might look like, but I hope that we get some clarification on that soon. Maybe after the NFL draft, Brian Dable will shed some more insight on it in that press conference, or maybe we will have to wait until the summer at training camp. But I agree with you. I do think that it's time for Brian Dable to take over the play calling duties, especially considering the fact that Mike Kafka looks like he's trying to run at any chance he gets. He's running for every head coaching job that becomes available, and was even interviewing for potential offensive coordinator jobs, seemed ready to leave and go ahead and call plays for the Seattle Seahawks. That, to me, indicated that Dable probably is taking over the play calling duties. Ultimately, we shall see. Maybe they'll do some sort of negotiating and Kafka will end up taking the reins once again, but We'll find that out soon enough, and we'll find out what this offense is going to look like, at least get a larger picture, more clear picture of it after this NFL draft. Again, can't wait. Super excited for it, guys. Stay tuned, because the live stream on the night of the draft is going to be so much fun. We finally nailed down what our 20K sub special is going to look like. We've got that coming for you the weekend before the draft, so stay tuned for that. And really, all the New York Giants news, rumors, draft reports, everything. It's going to be available for you right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.